And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. We're talking A Star Is Born and the Yolks on You for today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we're going to hop right on into it with everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, and that's the quick run-through of A Star Is Born, which starts off at Angel Grow High, where Kim asks Tommy if he'd come to the beach, but Tommy has a screen test for a commercial. Insert Bulk, who doubts Tommy could get the role, because he's the star. At the beach, the Rangers doing their thing. Bulk and Skull show up. Poor Skull. I feel so bad for Skull. Bulk demands Skull to wipe lotion on him, which the bottle of lotion explodes all over Bulk's face. And Skull goes, all right, I'll use the mayo. It's not like Bulk's paying attention. Then back at school, Bulk is still talking smack to Tommy. But man, Bulk has that horrible, horrible sunburn. Ouch, bro. And then after, and with the horrible sunburn, embarrasses himself in his audition. Tommy patiently awaits his turn while all this is going on. Back at the beach, Scorpina and the Putties crash the party and the Rangers morph into action. Scorpina's caterpillar monster encases the Rangers in a cocoon. Goldar has the Putties throw them off the cliff, because when I think the Power Rangers in a cocoon, I think let's find the easiest way to kill them and let's throw them off a cliff. Back at school, Tommy goes in for his audition. Look at that flow, man. That flow on that man's head. Mullets are out, but man, that mullet is sexy. And impresses along with that flow. Back in the cocoon, the Rangers use their power blasters to break the cocoon, which I have no idea how they came up with the idea, except for the fact that we just randomly see them back from commercial break with the power blasters in their hand, which when you go in the commercial break, they don't have in their hands. Explain that one. They're then sent to their Zords to fight a baseball monster, Goldar and Scorpina. Zordon finally gets a hold of Tommy, and he morphs into action. Dragonzord gets into the battle. They defeat the baseball monster, and then the Rangers face Scorpina, but need their Zords again as the Megazord gets put into a cocoon, but Tommy to the rescue once again, and they destroy the caterpillar monster. Rita chastises everyone, and the Rangers on the news again. The commercial airs, and Bulk is embarrassed, and Tommy looks like the stud that he is, girlfriend. Oh, yes. So with that, that was everyone's favorite segment in my mind. The quick run-through of A Star Is Born. Brian, you've got notes.
I have lots of notes here. So A Star Is Born is probably one of the more memorable episodes of Power Rangers. And like before I even went back and watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's this episode. You know, I just remember really loving this one as a kid. There's some stuff that like I watched as an adult and went, huh, okay, but I still loved this episode. This is episode 32 of Mighty Morphin, and funny enough, this episode actually uses footage from three different Zeo Ranger episodes. Episode 23, which is called I Like the Super Miracle Ball, which uses Babe Ruth's footage. Episode 36 is you, which is called Smash at the Mirror of Death. We get more putty footage from that. And then episode 38, Princess May's Seven Metamorphoses, which uses fight footage and the main villain slash story. The reason why there are two monsters in this episode is due to neither monster having much usable screen time in the Zeo Ranger episodes that they came from. Babe Ruthless is a small Japanese kid for the entirety of his episode before he morphs and or gets tall and couldn't be used. and Weaveworm remains a small insectoid for most of the episode, only to assume a proper form when the Zords were needed. So they kind of had to take two episodes and mash them together to get a full episode on this one. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had anything. So that explains that. Babe, and if you're interested, Babe Ruthless's Japanese name is Dora Pixie, and then Weaveworm's Japanese name is Dora Silxis. This is the last episode to have the Dragonzord battle mode destroy a monster. Let's see here. So, something I thought was kind of funny was Goldar. Goldar sounds more like the Goldar I'm used to in this episode.
Yeah, that's been a big thing, like, these first 30-plus episodes, is Goldar's voice.
Yeah.
Because it keeps changing from whoever the original voice guy was to Kerrigan Mahan. Yeah. And I think, actually, Kerrigan was actually the original, has been the voice the entire time.
I do have a note in here on
But there's been talk that, you know, there was somebody else first. They didn't get credited. Kerrigan then came in and kind of took over the role. Because, right. Yeah, because, like, the Goldar that we're familiar with, you know, we haven't really been hearing it these first 30-something episodes. You hear it here and there.
And you kind of hear it in this episode, but it kind of goes back and forth, which makes me feel like they were using both guys somehow.
Yeah, but Kerrigan is the Goldar.
Yes.
At the end of the day.
Yes. There's this funny little thing that happens when Goldar comes in and sounds like his, you know, normal self, finally. And Rita's like, I'm pooped, and kind of like slumps on the wall. He's like, but you must lead us to victory. And she literally just goes, I'm tired. You do it. And like, just, she's like, nah, fam, I'm good. You do you, boo-boo. And the Goldar's like, all right, cool. So, like, let's see here. Oh, yeah, okay. So the Rangers go to the beach because that's been kind of a theme here recently as well. I guess they had – I feel like they had, like, a couple of episodes blocked where they're just like, okay, we're going to use a couple different locations, and they didn't space them out in any of the seasons. So they're just like, okay, this episode we're going to the beach. That makes sense to me. Like,
it's summertime.
Yeah, it's summertime. We're going to film some stuff at the beach. Okay, fine. Like you said, Bulk and Skull go to get a tan on the same beach that the Power Rangers are hanging out at, because that's just how they are, I guess. I guess they're just starved for attention. But
well, it was more Bulk. Here's the reality. It's not really Skull. It's like, more Bulk.
Yeah.
Because this entire episode is centered around this commercial,
yeah,
that Tommy and Bulk are auditioning for. And of course, like, Tommy's like, I got this. I know how to do karate.
Right.
I've been doing it all my life. And then you got Bulk, who's just like, well, you're not going to get it, 'cause you're not star material. I'm star material. And it's like, so like, that's why I say I feel bad for Skull in this episode, because you know, we talked about it on our last episode that we recorded.
Yeah.
About how Skull's kind of like the lackey. He latches more on the Bulk because he thinks that, you know, he's the cool kid when he's not. And that's the thing about it. It's like Skull has to carry everything on the beach.
Yeah.
Skull has to put the lotion or the mayo on Bulk.
Yeah, we're getting to that.
And it's like, and that's the thing. That's why I feel bad for Skull more than anything.
Yeah. My notes continue on that same thread where, like, Bulk is trying to get a tan on an overcast day in California, which, when did that ever happen?
I don't think we ever saw a cloud when we were in California.
I saw the smallest cloud on, like, the last day that we were there, and that's it. And I was like, oh, where'd you come from, little buddy? And it, like, went away. I was like, oh. Like, Los Angeles does not get clouds, they get smog. That's all they get. And then they get, like, you know, a month of rain, and they get, you know, mudslides and all that, but whatever. So Bulk's trying to get a tan on a cloudy day on the beach, and Skull's tasked with, you know, again, like you said, putting lotion and stuff all over him. And the bottle explodes in Bulk's face, and I'm not saying that you couldn't put a Brazzers logo in the corner, but you could totally do that. It was very graphic. I was like, and then like he brings out the Skull brings out the mayonnaise, and I'm like, what are you gonna do with that, buddy? And like we get this jingle for Timmy P's Real Brand Mayonnaise, which kind of goes like Timmy P's Real Brand Mayonnaise, and I'm like, stop. You're not going to do what I think you're going to do. And, like, sure enough, he puts mayonnaise all over Bulk, and Bulk then proceeds to crisp pretty much the same way that Kramer crisps on that episode of Seinfeld when he goes up on the roof. And, like, you see him, like, as a turkey, and he's, like, waving at Jerry. He's like, huh? Hey, Jerry, how you doing? I'm a turkey now. It's the same thing that happens, basically, man. Which, and I can't imagine, like, okay. If you put mayonnaise on someone in lieu of suntan oil and you start to hear a sizzle, you've got to smell that, right? You have to, you can't be that.
What's for dinner, Bulk?
Bulk, the other white meat.
No.
And honestly, you know, a good portion of this episode is just Bulk making, you know, a butthead of himself, really. I mean, he's just like he goes into that commercial, you know, and beforehand, like, Skull kind of hits him on the shoulder and he's just like, what's the suntan? I'm like, yeah, because, you know, you're extra crispy now, aren't you? And like, he goes in and he's just going, hi. I'm like, stop. Like, and believe me, this has nothing to do with like the actors or anything, because like, we got to meet them. Super cool guys, but like I got to the point where I get to the point when I watch go back and watch these episodes where I'm like, I really can't stand Bulk and Skull. Oh my god, like I there's parts that I love them, and then there's parts where I'm just like secondhand embarrassed by them. You know, so let's see here, I got more notes here. Scorpina shows up, the Rangers morph, and I don't know what it is about the Japanese beaches having rockier, you know, like shore sides or whatever, but it's very noticeable, but that's part of the thing. She unleashes her pet worm, which traps the Rangers in a cocoon.
All right, well, no, it's a caterpillar, not a worm.
Yeah. Well, she said it's her,
right.
She says it's her pet worm.
Yeah, but it's really a caterpillar.
It's a caterpillar, but she says it's her pet worm.
Well, that's bad, so, dubbing them.
Yeah.
But you know what? Scorpina is a beautiful woman. I will forgive it.
Oh, absolutely. So Jason uses his communicator to try and resort on once they're trapped in that cocoon, which I think this is the only time the communicator's over the actual like glove. They've always had it underneath somehow, but they I guess they wanted us to make sure that hey, they do have the communicators with them.
But you know, but we would know that because it would be underneath.
Yeah, but it was over this time because, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, you understand which that they're trying to reach Zordon.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that after the fact on that, even before that, you never had to see it because you always saw them kind of go to the wrist as if it was there anyways.
Yeah.
But so the other thing is that you would also assume that they wouldn't need the thing on the wrist because when they transport, they use the morpher to transport the power coin, mm-hmm. and they could always have a piece in their ear,
yeah,
where they talk to Zordon. So it's like they don't really need the wrist communicator on this one.
I guess someone just really like it. Almost sounds like someone was just nagging like the director and was just like, "Are you gonna make sure that you put that there?" Like Lord. Let's see here. Tommy does awesome at the audition. He gets pinged by Zordon, and we get more awesome Dragon Zord footage. And there's a lot of Zord footage here, but again, it's a bit of a mess. They beat Babe Ruthless, leave the Zords. Scorpina has the Weave Worm grow. They go back into the Zords. Tommy shows back up on the rooftop again in the same footage, which, again, that's just what they had to work with. And then, you know... And then they go and beat the, you know, that. And then I think Scorpina and Goldar are also fighting in that scene as well. And then, of course, you know, everybody has a laugh at, you know, Bulk, and they're like, oh, well, go Tommy at the end when they're at the juice bar, you know, watching the commercial.
Well, even before we get there, like, could you imagine if, like, you're the Zords? Like, could you imagine, like, if they did the Zords the way they did it in Jew Ranger?
Yeah.
And where the Zords are, like, spirits.
Literal gods.
Yeah. And the, and then you have this where it's like, oh, we defeat Babe Ruthless. All right, cool. We're going to go chill now. And then, like, literally 30 seconds later, he goes, nah, we're just kidding. We need you back over here. Get over here.
Like, if, I mean, if I was a Tyrannosaurus, I'd be like, have fun with that. I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
It's like, could you imagine the Zords and be like, I hate you so much.
It's like, ugh.
Why couldn't we just step and squish it when we had the chance?
Like the Ranger is like, we need Zord, we need Dino Ranger power again. It's like, ugh, again with this crap. All right, fine.
So, but anyways, back at the juice bar.
Yeah, back at the juice bar, and we see the commercial, which I guess like the they were just using the audition footage for the commercial, which is really lazy. Like, that is like I don't know about you.
Let's be honest. When do you think they're going to shoot that commercial?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I know that.
And they were filming in the audition.
They were filming, but that was supposed to be audition footage. And I'm telling you, as someone who has actually auditioned for a few commercials, I know that there's a callback process. I know that there's this, that, the other. But I guess at that point, they were just like,
I guess they're just very disappointed with everybody. Loved enough of Bulk to want to embarrass them, and then loved enough of Tommy because, hey, it's Tommy freaking Oliver. Welcome to the Tommy Oliver show.
Yep. Well, welcome to the Green Ranger show starring the Green Ranger. Oh, the Green Ranger's gone. Welcome to the White Ranger show starring the White Ranger. You know,
oh, what's that? He's not the Red Ranger.
Welcome to the Red Ranger show starring the Red Ranger.
all kidding aside, we still love Jason.
Yeah.
So with that, for A Star Is Born, it clocked in at 18 minutes and 56 seconds for a IMDb score of a 6.9. Which now brings us to The Yolks on You. And it's now time for everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind. And that's the run through of The Yolks on You, which also begins at Angel Grove High. Everyone gathers to prepare for a talent show. You know, that thing that we don't have. However, tracking props is a problem, though. Meanwhile, Finster creates a fish-like monster. Tommy going to go get the belt because, oops, we forgot the belts. But instead of getting belts, he gets putties instead. And he lags the... I can't even read what I wrote. Oh, he lays the smackdown on them. Lags the smackdown on them. That would have been very interesting. One putty gets away with his communicator and lures him into a trap. The Rangers start to worry about Tommy. They transport to the command center and learn of Tommy's situation and of a new monster. They morph into action and they battle the monster. Goldar blasts the Rangers off of the cliff. What is with Goldar and cliffs? This is the second episode now where he has blasted them or chucked them off a cliff. My God, Goldar. Goldar's got some issues. The monster is upset about the Goonie Bird eggs. Rita resurrects the eggs, but then takes them away, pretty much giving the ultimatum to the monster, to which then she makes the monster grow, and the Rangers call upon their Zords, with a Megazord battle with the monster getting the upper hand. Tommy escapes and then morphs into action. The Rangers defeat the monster. The Rangers get back to the juice bar just in time for the talent show. So that was everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind. Now it's time for Brian and his notes.
All right. So this one is not nearly as confusing. This was episode 33, season 1, The Yolks on You. Air date was November 16th, 1993. And ZU episode 39 is actually called A Subterranean Beast's Tears. So the monster Fang is not one of Ben Dorr's creations in ZU Ranger, but it is created by Finster in this particular edition. In ZU...
Hey, because everything gets created by Finster.
Yeah. In Zio Ranger, it's a subterranean gentle creature awakened by an earthquake. In Japan, her name is Goda, and they changed her gender. And you see that the monster is actually crying over over its... Okay, so Fang is crying over their lunch because they, you know, Squat ate his Gooniburg eggs, right? But it turns out in Zio Ranger, Squat ate her children. Those eggs were her children. And then I guess it gets tricked into fighting the Power Rangers because they're like, no, we didn't eat them. The Zio Rangers ate them. So I can completely understand why they changed that plot narrative on this one, because can you just imagine that? It's like making an enemy out of like a heartbroken mother. Yikes. That's rough. So, now this is the last time that, and this is based on notes that I pulled off of the Power Rangers wiki. So this might be wrong, but apparently this is the last episode that we see Goldar talking in original voice. And it says from here, Kerrigan actually took over as the voice, which again, we kind of speculated that it was probably another person who was uncredited doing that.
Yeah, because like it wasn't, I mean, you got to give the guy credit because he did the best job that he can, but it just wasn't good.
No.
And Kerrigan, and it really kicks off because the next episode that we're going to be doing is the Green Candle two-parter.
Yes.
Which Ben's going to be returning for that one in the next episode after that. And it's like, that's really the beginning of when Kerrigan really defines the character of Goldar.
Which is ironic because we're already halfway through the first season. So, but Goldar was around for quite a bit, though. So thankfully there's that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Kerrigan was also the voice of Magna Defender.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Apparently, this is the last time that we see Alpha 5 in his original design. And this is the last episode that David Fielding voices Zordon, and Bob Manahan would take over the next episode forward. I did not know that David Fielding only voiced up to episode 33, actually. He's always at conventions and he's always like Zordon. That's who he, you know, I had no idea that he only did 33 episodes.
But the thing is that the reason he keeps getting credited mm-hmm. is because he's still the face of Zordon.
Yeah. And I actually saw something where like he literally, all the footage of Zordon that you see that was shot in one day. All that was shot in one day. And they just kept reusing that because it makes sense. You barely see his mouth moving. So, like, they did a couple different shots and went on.
And not only that, but, like, I think so the filming of the head stuff took a day. And then I think he also said that, like, for him doing the lines,
mm-hmm.
it probably took him, like, 3 days.
That's a pretty decent amount of work. That's for everything that they used him for. It's like, yeah, 3 days sounds about right, actually. Like I said, we see Finster create Fang through manipulated footage, who sends him to Angel Grove. And I don't know about you, but I saw the globe where they sent Fang, and it looks like they sent him to South Africa instead.
Oops.
Whoops. Like, I have no idea what he's doing now in South Africa, but, you know.
Nah, you know, Rita and geography, not a big deal.
Say hi to D. Antwerp for me. Like, Fang sounds like Peter Lorre grew up in Puerto Rico, by the way. He's got kind of like a Spanish accent, but he sounds like, do you remember in Aladdin when Robin Williams is doing that bit where he's just like, rule number two, I can't bring people back from the dead.
Yeah.
I won't do it. Don't ask me. It's not pretty. Like, that's what he sounds like. He sounds like Peter Lorre to me, with a bit more of a Hispanic kind of, you know, accent. So Tommy forgot his and Jason's belts in this episode.
Horrible, horrible person.
He's the worst. So he had to go through the forest to go back to his house to get them. I mean, like, are they not in his car or something? Like, I can't imagine.
He said he left them at home. why he actually just... he actually said in the episode, I left them at home.
I left them at home.
So he has to travel through the woods.
I have to walk
back to grandma's house he goes.
Yep.
Like Little Red Riding Hood.
So he gets captured by putties who left a net for him, and they steal a communicator and morpher. And then Kim kind of has this little throwaway thing where she's like, what, did you have to walk all the way to Japan to get them? And I'm like, but I'm Tish. Like,
damn, Kimberly, that's sass. That's sass, girlfriend.
I lost count, by the way, how many times Fang said, Gooniburg eggs. I need my Gooniburg eggs. But, like, he says it so many times.
At one point, when he first said it, I was like, I thought he was saying Goonie Burgers.
Yeah.
At one point. I need my
Goonie Burgers.
I was like, what? That doesn't make sense. And then and then he's like pointing at the end, like, Goonie Bird eggs. I'm like, ah, there we go.
Yeah. Like now that you mentioned, I'm like, wait, did the Goonies open up a burger shack with all that money that they found in, you know, One-Eyed Willie's cave or something? Like,
yes.
Okay. You have seen the Goonies, right?
No.
Michael.
I did watch Demolition Man recently.
Okay, fine. You haven't seen the Goonies, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
As Brian's girlfriend interjects into the conversation.
I love you.
It's not like we're recording or anything, you know.
Okay, I'll reset here. Okay, so Goldar says the Rangers have the eggs, and then Rita promises the eggs to Fang if he defeats the Rangers, but Fang then says, Rita says you have the eggs, so there's a little mix-up in the script there. And that's all American stuff, by the way.
Silly Americans, they can't do anything, right?
We get Fang versus the Dragonzord at the dam, which looks really, really cool. And then they have to go into Dragonzord battle mode, which apparently that's what defeats the monster in Japan, but they decided to bring out the Ultra Zord for a couple different reasons in this episode instead. So we get Ultra Zord footage, which I never, you know, you're never going to put Ultra Zord footage in Power Rangers and make me go, man, all right, fine.
We need to do some overkill. Let's get the Ultra Megazord in here.
I mean, the only reason I get a little like huffy about it is because I never got a Titanus. So I was like, all right, fine.
Yeah, Titanus is the only one I've never gotten.
I mean, even if I could find like a 93 Titanus, I'd be happy.
So if I could get the Bandai Legacy Titanus,
yeah,
that would be great because then I can put that with my Megazord and Dragonzord.
Oh, you have a Legacy Megazord?
Yes, and a Legacy Dragonzord.
I have a Legacy Dragonzord. I don't have a Legacy Megazord.
And I have the Legacy White Tiger Zord, but I need the Legacy Thunder Megazord.
I need that one too.
And then I think the only other one that I would need would be the Legacy Movie Ninja Sword. Mega Ninja Sword from the Mighty Morphin in the movie.
That and the Falcon Zord probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the Falcon would come with it.
No, it didn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, because Tommy and needed to be separate.
I actually bought those at Toys R Us before they went out of business.
But I know those were like the Zords I need to get.
Yeah.
But, like, the only thing that I still have original 93 is the Megazord.
I've got,
and I found that at a convention, still in the box last year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And Brian's distracted by the girlfriend again.
Sorry.
I'm just gonna keep egging you every time now. It's our new thing on Power Dorks. We're just gonna rib Brian every time that happens.
So I think we're kind of like, you know, derailing here, but real fast.
Oh, we always derail. Come on now.
Well, that's fine. But, I have a 93, Megazord that I got for my birthday, back in like 94, 95. And, I have the Dragon Zord. I also have the Thunder Megazord and White Tiger Zord from that run. And then I also have the Shogun Megazord. I did have a Ninja Megazord that I got when the movie came out for Christmas, and I had that for all of an hour before I accidentally dropped it down the stairs, and the legs on the Ninja Megazord broke off, and like I couldn't glue them back together. So I had like, I had the Zords together, but like the frog was just like
you had dead. A crippled ring.
I had a crippled Ninja Megazord, and and believe me, when I literally like I went into Toys R Us a couple years ago, and I saw that Ninja Megazord, and like I just went mine, and like just grabbed it and didn't let go of it because I was like, this needs to rectify some wrongs in my life. All right, yeah, cool.
See, I had as a kid growing up, I had the original Megazord, the original Ninja, the original Thunder Megazord, mm-hmm. and the original movie Thunder Mega Ninja Megazord.
Yes.
And then but outside of Zords, I also had the original Automorphin figures, where you like do the flip heads. I always call them flip heads, you know, because it's easier to call them that. Yeah, they're flip heads. I actually have all those in their packaging. I actually spent a year trying to find all six of them.
I think someone was selling those at Morphicon, but they were stupid expensive.
Yeah. And then I know like two, I think the red and the Green Ranger ones came back as part of the Legacy line.
Yes. So did the black one, I think, too.
Yeah.
Or the blue. Can't remember.
I don't remember. I didn't buy them because it's like, why? I got the original ones from 1993 on this one. And there's no difference to what they are.
No.
But the flip heads was always cool. I love those. Those were like that was my main jam as a kid.
You know what's funny? Everybody loves the flip heads, but nobody ever talks about the ones that came in the triangle boxes that were like the 1 foot ones that are like the size of like an original G.I. Joe. I had all of those and I loved those figures.
See,
but like
they have them, the flip heads. They have those as sick when they did the Legacy line in the very beginning. They re-released those and the movie ones.
Yeah, albeit as like a 6-inch figure.
Yeah, so the 6-inch, and I actually do have all of those.
Yeah.
I actually have all of the Mighty Morphin. Okay, correction. Up to a certain point, I had every single SH figure arts for Mighty Morphin. But the only ones I'm missing now are the ones where you actually have like the Ranger faces. So you can replace the head with, instead of having the helmet, it could be the Ranger head instead. So it could be Tommy's face or Jason's face. Like those are the ones I need to get now so I can kind of complete the Mighty Morphin collection in regards to SH figure arts.
I got the Japanese Dire Ranger, White Ranger SH figure arts from MagFest a couple of years ago. And I had I wound up reselling it because I needed to pay for rent. But I remember having like I remember really loving that figure. And then I got the Hasbro figure, and I was like, these are very similar in like, you know, just articulation and paint and you know, just everything, but this one's 20 whereas this one's 60, so I'm gonna lean towards Hasbro on these ones. So
yeah,
I'm still kind of messed up that Bandai's not doing them anymore, but that's my last thing on that.
Yeah, but anyways, back to your notes on the Yulks on you.
Yeah.
I think you're getting near the end of it.
Yes. So basically, we finish off Fang with the Ultra Zord, and then we cut back to the talent show at the Juice Bar. Tommy and Jason do a talent show where they basically do the Test Your Might mini game from Mortal Kombat, where they, you know, like break the board after kind of, you know, doing some katas and whatnot. And then Bulk and Skull do a weak attempt at a like metal rock and roll show. And everyone in the audience is just dumbfounded by that. And Kimberly gives like the weakest, like unenthusiastic clap.
That sass, girl.
And that just ends the episode, which I'm not going to lie. I literally went at the end of that. And those are the end of my notes on that. But yeah, this was a decent episode with a kind of interesting backstory on the monster. So, yeah.
So with that, the Yulks on You clocked in at 20 minutes and 17 seconds with an IMDb score of a 6.7. 7. And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called One Drunk Geek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on castwavestudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And yeah, you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff. So,
all right. And you can follow me on the Twitters at TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions. And of course, everything for me is on the website at TXHTHockey.com. And for the show specifically, which is VFTG, which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
So until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.